Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Today, we have a special mailbag episode. We're discussing all of your emails, all of your comments, all of your messages, all of your phone calls. Just kidding. People are not calling in, but that's not what we're here. Today with us, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
And fact checker Chris Smith.
I've gotten 3 phone calls today, personally. But you're not talking about those.
No, we love when people call in and leave us voicemails with their thoughts. But that's not what we have today. So let's not dwell on it.
Okay.
No, but if you did want to call in, you can reach us at the Erio's hotline, which is 626-604-6262.
626-604-6262.
Of course, that number is also in the show notes.
Mm. Now, today it's the day. We got to be honest. It's election day. I know you're listening to this probably on the 21st, but today for us, it's a
fact checker. Fact checker.
I got bad news for you. As the fact checker, I got to butt in here. It's not election day.
Oh, I'm sorry. Inauguration day.
Thank God it's not election day. That was one of the most stressful days of my life.
That was really stressful.
No. Inauguration. How dare I? How dare I confuse that with one of the worst weeks ever? But it's inauguration. We're happy. We loved it. God bless J-Lo and the new administration.
Mm-hmm.
And
I wish them luck. Godspeed.
And stay alarmed. Stay alarmed, administration, please.
Yes. And I just want to plug our upcoming episode, The Election of 1876. I've already started my research for it. And if there's ever been a reason to stay alarmed, or if there's ever been inspiration to stay alarmed, you're going to want to listen to this episode because so many things could have been different right now. We could be in a totally different kind of country. Check back in next week. We're going to learn more about that. It's going to be fun.
Now, I have two recommendations for the Alarmy that I think, and you too, I don't know if you've seen this either, but two movies I watched basically back to back, and they were a great alarmist double feature. So one was called Assassins, and that is all about the execution of Kim Jong-un's half-brother that took place in Malaysia by these two young women who were duped into it because North Koreans made them think they were on a game show.
Wow.
And we have got to do this as an episode because it's the craziest, most heart-wrenching documentary. You feel so bad for these two women. It's insane.
Wow. Put that on the list. Put it on.
Yes.
Someone has a list, right?
Yeah.
There's a list. Someone's got it. Yeah, you put it on. Okay, so then to pair with that, there is a documentary out right now called The Dissident, which is about the political assassination of Jamal Khashoggi, who was the Saudi Arabian journalist who was working in America for the Washington Post, and then was, as most people have heard of, was brutally killed and butchered in the Saudi embassy in Turkey.
That's so sad.
It was so sad, and justice has not been served. Maybe with this new administration, something will happen, but that is also would be a really fascinating episode.
Yes, we definitely need to do that. You know what breaks my heart about that one is that I remember reading that he went to the embassy because he wanted to get a marriage certificate.
Yeah, and his fiance was waiting for him outside
I can't.
What's the opposite of a romantic comedy? Am I right?
The Dissident is what it is.
Okay, we got it. Good. Those are really good recommendations. We have to put them on the list.
Yes.
Now, do we have any housekeeping to do before we get started with these emails? Because we have a lot to discuss. People have been writing in.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And I will say, I also want to give the Alarmy the big clap because we've gotten some great new reviews. Ooh. And I will just read one of them. Let's see. Current favorite podcast from Now Miller. I listen while I drive, do laundry, paint, etc. And some days I will listen to like 5 episodes because I can't get enough. I love the true crime vibes mixed with the humor and all of the personalities on the show, especially Rebecca's. Shout out. Even when talking about events that I wouldn't normally be interested in, I'm immediately hooked. The anxiety and attention to every little detail is very relatable, as well as someone who also overthinks everything and looks for the worst case scenario. So grateful to have found this podcast.
Well, isn't that nice? And look, we don't have to pick favorites, but it is nice when you're the favorite. I'm just saying. It's not something you have to put on the review, but...
No. And we don't want to start encouraging Here is keeping count of how many
only
times
Amanda
they get.
Had one before. But we're not keeping count.
No, I mean, we wouldn't be that petty. I don't keep count.
No. Amanda and I are 1-1 and you're 0.
Well, we'll have to actually go through all of them from the very first review, and we'll do a little tally on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice.
But in addition to, yes, it's very nice. In addition to leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, there's a few other ways you can support the podcast. One is by purchasing some of our merch. You can go to earios.net, linked in the show notes. Go to the Alarmist shop. We've got some really cool merch. You can also give us a one-time donation. We put our episodes out for free. We don't have a Patreon or anything like that. So if you want to give us a one-time $5, $10 tip, you can go to the supporter feature, which is linked in the show notes. Mm. One other way you can support us is to tell your friends about the show. Mm. That always helps, and we really appreciate it when the Alarmy posts about us on their social media and tags our social handles. That is really the best way for us to build our audience is through word of mouth. So... okay, I'll shut up now.
Now, Amanda, does the digital tip jar work like a diner chip tip jar where, you know, the trick is you put your own dollar in there and that people see it and then they start throwing money in. So should I go and give us a tip as a way.
No, so it doesn't work that way.
But you know what I thought you were going to say, Chris? I thought you were going to say, does it work like, you know, when you give someone a tip at a restaurant, like, what's that old fashioned diner? I forget what it's called. Not like Ruby's or something. And then the whole staff goes like, woo, tip.
Yes, they have to do a dance.
Yeah,
they all clap.
They did that at Cold Stone Creamery.
They're dressed as in the 50s. What the heck?
That's called, that place is called Ruby Tuesdays?
No.
People are screaming it, I'm sure.
It's not Fuddruckers. It's Johnny Rockets.
Yeah, and they have to do like a shake. Sherry, baby, like every time you give them a dollar, which is
okay. So let me just shout out some of these people on Supporter who've done this, and you guys do a little cheer for them.
We'll do a little.
We got $10 from Curly Torrance.
Boom, boom, boom.
We got $25 from someone called Northern Alarmy.
Whoa, for the longest time.
A whopping $50 from Jay Cohen.
And wow. I would do anything for love.
I've got, I'll stop saying how much people gave, because actually I feel like that's embarrassing. But Adam, Vic, Alex... Anonymous. Did I say Lacey? Evan.
We should wait till they're all done, and then I'll do row, row, row your boat at the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. So those are just a couple. So I can't go back and do them all, but we appreciate it.
That's really nice. Well, thank you. You guys get the big clap for this episode.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. And it's also like funny because like I didn't know about that money, and like how are we distributing that? Like, is there a fact checker?
No, there's no fact checker fund. I'm sorry.
Is there like a percentage?
We should start paying you. We should get, I guess because you guys are married, I just assume anything Rebecca gets, you get, you know, whatever. Well, 10%.
She insists on having separate bank accounts. And I don't even know her.
About my finances.
And I don't know her. She's got a safe and I don't know what
we have separate safes. It's really fun.
Oh, right. I forgot. You don't trust banks, so you keep everything.
So, okay. Well, thank you so much for everyone who donated and has written really nice reviews about us. It really means a lot to us, and it really helps us grow. So thank you. And thank you to all the people who have written in. We have a message. This was from our Discord page, Biker Che. And they said, they're talking about Heaven's Gate in this comment. Going along with the conspiratorial thinking and Chris's discussion of people not believing fact, I think what this comes down to is a straight up lack of media literacy. People don't understand, especially in this era of so many media outlets, how to interpret and analyze the media that they are consuming. What do you think about that?
I love that observation. I think it's totally true. I think the media relies on the fact that people do not have that capability. And so they just say and do whatever they want. It's a constant 24-hour news cycle. And I think there's something there. I mean, what do you guys think? Do you think there should be like a media curator or a media interpreter position? Hmm. Something that is like maybe you put over your TV like a sock or something that takes news and sort of actually distills it down to what the actual facts are.
I guess we could have an understanding the media class in college. I feel like that would be a useful... and a tool, just like I think also like under like figuring out your finances class in college would actually be really good, and like how to pay your taxes class in college.
Oh yeah, I mean, how boring though.
Yeah,
but like how boring. Useful? I mean,
yeah. Boring but useful.
Also, like how to clean your shower. No one taught me that, and I still don't really know how.
Amanda, I'll come over and help.
You're not using bleach?
No, it's fine. It's just not going to be cleaned.
No. When the pandemic is over, that's the first thing I'm doing.
You don't use shampoo, right?
It's not like hair.
I also need to take a course in how to clean the lid of my Instant Pot. That also does not add up to
that.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should, those things should come with like a specific cloth that yeah. you use.
That's not fair. That's not fair. But yeah, I think there's something to be done with. There's a lot of stuff we don't know how to do, and it's all moving so fast. So the media has definitely had an advantage, I guess. You know, we definitely need to do something.
There's a lot of bias in media, and that's mm-hmm. why I try to just watch a few trusted sources. Like I read my newspaper. We watch Lester Holt on the nightly news. Mm-hmm. Like I try to stay away from cable news because it is, even though it's biased in the direction that I agree with, it's still just so clearly biased.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah. But not everyone realizes that. Mm-hmm. Right. I think a lot of people do, but not everyone.
Well, we're currently in Montreal.
Oh, God. Every time he says that, I want to kill. Murder. I just want to murder.
Just murder anyone.
We're here in Canada, and we were watching CBC, which Canadian, I guess, news, and they were covering the inauguration. And it's interesting to watch international news about America because there is a certain level of investment. They're not as invested as maybe some of the other news networks in
yeah in, it was true. It was like they were like, and that is Amy Klobuchar, and she is a very important person there. Yes.
Like that. They had no clue.
No, I mean, they know way more than if I was narrating the inauguration of another country. Oh, like yeah. I would sound like a fool. I would sound like a fool.
But
they know a lot.
To your point, Amanda, and to the point of our alarmy member who wrote in with this, I think that there are news sources and challenge the news sources, you know, follow up on what you're hearing about and the facts are out there. And if you feel like you're being lied to, you know, move on to another source. I go through PBS and NPR. That's how I get my news.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like select Twitter follows. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this comes down to just critical thinking, which I think is...
That's another class. That's a very important skill
to have.
Put that in your curriculum, college and universities around the world. Now, we also got a message.
If you have a good podcast, you don't need any critical thinking. If you have a cool voice and a funny perspective.
Otherwise, look, we do need critical thinking. We've gotten so many emails, and you're going to read about them, and they do challenge us. Not this next submission that we got from Jill T. Jill T. writes, I enjoyed your recent episode on the massacre at Taliesin. I very recently went on a tour of the Robbie House in Chicago, which was designed by Frank Lloyd Wright. During the hour-long guided tour, Frank Lloyd Wright's past and family were discussed, but zero mention of him leaving his wife and the events of Taliesin. I feel robbed, especially after dropping coin in the gift shop. Sometimes a podcast is more informative than a tour. Thanks for educating me beyond the Frank Lloyd Wright expert. Happy New Year. So that you know, sometimes these, you know, tour guides, they don't want to get into the really salacious good stuff.
Because they know that's what everyone would want to ask questions on. They'd be like, sorry, did you just say his whole family was murdered?
Yeah.
They're like, no, I'm trying to tell you about his architecture.
Right.
Right. It's like how we were when someone mentioned it. So, yeah. So, thank you, Jill T., for that nice compliment. Now, speaking of Frank Lloyd Wright, we actually got an email from one of his descendants.
What?
Who listens to our podcast.
What?
What?
Oh, no. This is both so exciting and also our worst nightmare.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Okay. So this email is from Lloyd Nadoff. I hope I'm saying that right. N-A-T-O-F. Natoff. Nadoff. And Lloyd writes, Rebecca, I enjoy your podcast regularly, and I'm writing as a descendant of Wright to offer a few comments on the episode on the massacre at Taliesin. And then he gives me a bunch of bullet points. First, Wright died at age 91, not 92. So, apologies.
Noted.
I would like to state that correction. I must have said 92. In all fairness, it was 2 months. 2 months before his 92nd birthday. Now, Wright, he also writes, Wright is known for a lot more than the Prairie Style, which lasted only 10 years of a 70-plus year career. He went on to design many famous buildings in other styles. So I think, you know, what Lloyd is wanting to say is that we kind of focused on his Prairie Style. But we did talk about a few other buildings that he had designed that are not in the Prairie Style. He's also famous for other styles. I went on mymove.com, which said that he is widely known for four styles of building. He conceived the Prairie Style, which was born out of the belief that we needed fewer, larger rooms, which flowed more easily. His antithesis to the rigid Victorian era architecture. From there, the textile style was born, which led way to the organic style and then the Usonian style. Hmm. His belief that buildings should be made from land and benefit the land inspired most of his work. These beliefs, avant-garde for his time, are still practiced and revered today.
I see. So, like, some of the houses, when I think of Frank Lloyd Wright, that I really are iconic. What's the one, the Falling Water or something? That would be organic, right? Because it's all kind of built into the landscape.
Yes, right. I believe so. Yes,
that sounds right.
Yeah. Oh God, we're gonna get another email. No, please keep them coming.
Okay, so Lloyd goes on and he says, perimeter heating is not a notable characteristic of Wright's work or the Prairie Style. I guess I said that he was known for perimeter heating. This is an odd descriptor. In fact, almost all residential buildings had radiators, which were placed under windows, which would be on the perimeter of the building. Radiant or underfloor heating is a Wright innovation, but that came later, post-Prairie. So I definitely got that wrong. Definitely misunderstood that engineering feature. So thank you for the clarification. Now, he goes on to say, Wright was a poor father and acknowledged it, and certainly a poor husband to his first wife, but not an awful person. He maintained a long relationship with a large group of people, had many repeat clients. People loved working with him, and there are many books by his apprentices describing rich and entertaining experiences living and working at both. Taliesin's. It is easy to call Wright a narcissist and a terrible person. However, the historical record doesn't support it, and bearing down on these assertions the way you did is not fair. Okay. So, first of all, I guess it is kind of nebulous territory we're going into, because we're talking about opinions. We're talking about, you know, do I think you're a terrible person or you know, whatever. But I do think that just because someone has repeat clients doesn't not make them a terrible person. It just makes them good at their job, right? In some cases, so good that they might be willing to overlook his personality, right? But also, I take your point that his apprentices really liked him, and they said nice things about him. But just because his apprentices said that, you know, stayed at their job and chose to work for Wright doesn't really make him a non-terrible person either. I mean, they had a lot to gain by working under him, you know, like prestige and fortune and whatever. And also my gut tells me that I don't know. I didn't read a lot of you know, I just knew a few of the names that were working under him, and most of them were probably white men. And I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that, you know, Wright might have been nicer to white men who showed an adoration for him. Right. And this is what he's claiming that is documented. I don't know. For me, a deciding factor in whether I think someone is a terrible person or a good person or whatever is how they treat people who are technically below them on the social hierarchy. And especially in that time period, women and minorities were definitely, you know. But at the end of the day, it's an opinion. So maybe I shouldn't have said that he was a terrible person. I should have said that maybe I wouldn't have liked him.
That's fair. Yeah, definitely. Either way, a complicated figure. And of course, when we do these episodes, we're focusing in on a worst part of someone's life, typically. So, right. And like a lot of complicated figures, they can be both loved and terrible, depending on who you ask.
Yes, it's not all black and white. There's a lot of in between.
We certainly contain multitudes. And like a Frank Lloyd house, like a Frank Lloyd Wright house, we have lots of stories and steps and entrances and exits, windows.
Oh, God.
And even...
I need to stop
you. A lot of us have a tough roof that it's hard to... that
and perimeter heating, right?
But whisks away rain and perimeter heating.
But he does go on to say, Chris, you'll like this. He says, nice observation that the Guggenheim offers a digestible amount of display space. I've never thought of it that way. So I'm pretty sure that was you, Chris, who said that. And then he does say that there are many things that you got right, and I even learned a detail or two. It was interesting hearing a younger generation's take at a distance on this event. So thank you so much, Lloyd, for writing in and giving us your insight. I actually responded to Lloyd, you know, thanking him, saying that we were going to talk about it. And he wrote back with another correction. He must have re-listened to the episode.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yes, and thank you so much, Lloyd. We appreciate your feedback. And also, it's just nice to be called a younger generation relative to someone or anyone these days.
But you know what? This is what we're all about. We're all about talking. We say something, then someone says another thing, and we talk about it.
It's a dialogue, and I actually find this really thrilling that a descendant of our subject wrote in and listened to the episode. I mean, I think that's really cool. So thank you, Lloyd.
So, Amanda, would you like to read?
Yes.
We got another email from Deputy Chris.
Oh, amazing. Okay, let me find this here. Okay, great. So, where is this email from Deputy Chris?
Right here. Hey, Blaine Command.
Oh, yes. Okay, this comes in from Deputy Chris. I know you mean well, and I was very excited to see Rebecca finally get her white whale. However, in your rush... Okay, this must be about this last Tuesday's episode, which, of course, is about the factory fire.
The garment collapse.
Oh, that's right. The garment collapse in Dhaka, 2013. I know you mean well, but I was very excited to see Rebecca finally got her white whale. However, in your rush to get the fashion industry, and while folding things into other things to clear the board, you folded consumers into the fashion industry. The majority of people on Earth are consumers, so it is pretty tight on room and bed spaces in the alarmist jail. In honor of the pardons just issued by President Parasite, there needs to be one more pardon. I think you can pardon consumers without freeing the fashion industry. As deputy, I used to come and go as I please, but now I'm stuck in here with a billion or so people. On the plus side, only used to be one Spice Girl on here. There only seems to be one Spice Girl in here.
Yeah.
Used to be one Spice Girl.
Yes. Yeah. Yours an alarm, Deputy Chris. P.S. Male Hubris is working on another tunnel. Oh, this is a great email. And he's right. What do you think?
Right. I think he's right. I mean, I think the reason why I think he's right and the reason why I'm willing to pardon us as consumers is, like we talked about, I think we have been conditioned for a long time by the fashion industry to, you know, consume, consume, consume. So in a way... you know, it is our fault for mindlessly kind of going about our consumerism. But now that we know, we have the opportunity to make change and to change how we consume. So your consumers, I think they deserve a second chance. now that you know.
Okay, Deputy Chris, go free.
Well done, Deputy Chris. I mean, we could also just tell him to share blankets and bunk up together, right? I mean, like, it's a lot of people, I know, but, like, we did pay for that whole other wing of the alarmist jail, yeah. And it's like...
Now we just have a bunch of space, now that everyone's gone. I was thinking about that, though. Like, how do pardons work? Is there, like, a knock on the door, and it's, like, a jail guard that's, like... Amanda, yep, you're out. You're like, what? I'm sorry, what? They're like, yeah, you've been pardoned.
You probably get an email these days, right? with technology.
I just think it's a knock at the door from a guard. They're like, grab your stuff. You're good to go.
They don't really even have doors in prisons. It's kind of just bars.
Oh, right.
So true. I think it's just a, hey, kid, grab your backpack and...
Get your stuff. The door's
grab
unlocked.
Grab a backpack. Like. Get your knapsack.
Get your knapsack.
Now, speaking of this factory collapse, the garment factory collapse, we got a few emails right after, like right away, where there was apparently a huge oversight.
Oh.
Now, Dagan Ducharme, God, I said that wrong, and Brett Gable wrote in, and a few other people wrote in, actually. Huge oversight in the Rana Plaza episode. Joe Fresh did not die or go out of business. They're still huge in Canada. They are the exclusive provider for Loblaws, one of the largest Canadian grocery chains with hundreds, maybe thousands of connected stores. They are pillars of the disposable clothing scene. Further, you guys mentioned how Shark Tank was related to fashion. Joe Fresh's founder was on Dragon's Den, the Canadian version of Shark Tank, for years as a dragon. Dragon's Den, that's so funny. He could often be seen weighing the pros and cons of fashion pitches that were trend-based rather than products built on quality.
Wow.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
We should have put Joe Fresh up on the board.
I know, well, we should have. Or, I mean, we could slap it, but...
It's doubly bad that we got that wrong because we are currently in Montreal.
Oh, Chris, you need to stop.
Don't you dare go on a Joe Fresh buying spree.
Yeah.
we're literally right here. Like, we can go there.
If you come back to America dressed head to toe and Joe Fresh, you're not going to be let back in the country.
No.
They'll never know. It'll be in our bags that we won't carry on.
No, we're not buying any new clothing ever again. Only secondhand.
Actually, yeah, like Rebecca and I had a long conversation about this after that episode, and we were just like, there's really no reason to buy from fast fashion clothing outlets. And really, like, what do we need new clothes for? Like, you don't need them.
Yeah,
I know.
We could just buy secondhand or borrow or share clothes. I don't know, like, just don't buy fucking, like, you, Amanda, don't need the new clothes.
Don't throw out any of your clothes. Okay,
yeah, okay, I'm gonna save I'll save them for you. I think the only thing you can really justify is like a new pair of jeans every 5 years,
right? Yeah, because you lose the stretch.
Yeah, and some shoes. Maybe you need to buy some new running shoes, right, every, you know, year or something.
Yeah, that is bad for your feet. Old running shoes are bad for your feet.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, we also got an email from the dad of one of our listeners, Jonathan. He referred me to his dad, who is an expert on the Swiss. Well, he's, you know, it's hard to explain what he does, but he explains what he does here. But he's in charge of making sure things don't go wrong, essentially.
So if listeners remember, we brought up the Swiss cheese effect. Which episode was that?
It was for New Year's Eve, for
2020.
2020.
Okay, that's, yes, right. And so then on the tail of that episode, a listener wrote in and said, hey, if you want an expert on the Swiss cheese effect, talk to my dad.
Pretty much, yeah. So he wrote in, he said, good morning, Miss Smith. So he's very formal. My son Jonathan referred me to your podcast that focuses on discussions about casualties of serious incidents, often with a humorous twist, and the compendium of contributing factors that result in failures. I have some background on this area of analysis, so he thought I should write to you. Though my destructive and often fatal incidents occurring in a range of industries are commonly attributed to the actions or inactions on one or more individuals, the fact is that major flaws in systems and processes are more commonly create the complex casual calculus that leads to harm.
Causal calculus.
Causal.
Oh, puzzle calculus.
Causal.
Oh, causal. I said casual.
It's a U.
This
it's
is a riddle. This is a hard yeah, read.
This is, thank this you, is tough. He's using alliteration here.
Yes. Individuals commonly make mistakes in part because the system they work in or with are complex and insufficiently designed to mitigate risk and harm. They also make mistakes because of a range of recognized and unrecognized human factors that lead to mistakes. There are, of course, individuals who are poorly trained or not current or simply do not pay attention to details or do not ask for help or are simply having a bad day. Humans are complex entities, even more complex than the systems and processes of industries. And then he put a link to James Reason's Swiss cheese model of accident causation and prevention.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
Which is a simple metaphor serving as a useful tool for understanding casualty. Now, I believe this was...
Causality.
Sorry, casualty. Oh my God, causality. okay, so this is James Reason. And the Swiss cheese's model compares human system to Swiss cheese slices. The slices are piled together with one another. Basically, it was founded in 1990 by James T. Reason, a British psychologist of University of Manchester. The model gained wide acceptance and has been used by healthcare industry, emergency service organizations, aviation industry, and safety industry since it was developed. It is also known as cumulative act effect.
Oh, that's interesting.
According to a survey, in most of the cases, there can be four levels of failure for an accident. Unsafe supervision, unsafe act of themselves, organizational influence, and preconditions for unsafe acts. James T. Reason, in his Swiss cheese model, developed defenses of organization against the failure. So he developed defenses and represented barriers as slices of Swiss cheese. Individual weaknesses are shown by the holes in the slices as part of the system. And all the holes are different in position and sizes in those slices. The failure of the system occurs when holes in slices simultaneously align in aggregate, giving permission, as James Reason said, to a trajectory of accident opportunity, so that in all the defenses, jeopardy passes through all holes, which causes failure.
Wow, interesting. So there is an element of like chance too, which reminds me of a series of systematic failures, which is another yes. keyword we use sometimes.
Yes.
Right. And so it would be like another sort of metaphor would be like if the fact checker weren't just Chris, it was because sometimes Chris is cranky, sometimes Chris is hungry, sometimes Chris is distracted. But if there were like nine Chris's, then one can be cranky, one can be distracted, one can be hungry. But because there's so many, it would prevent the causality. The jeopardy from getting through all of the holes in the Swiss cheese.
Well, right. And the more layers you have,
yes.
the harder it is for something to get through it.
Exactly.
And so I'm actually imagining a huge stack of Swiss cheese and a bunch of people sort of walking around on top, okay? Mm-hmm. And they're like walking over the holes, but they're not falling in because the holes, there's another slice to protect them. But then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, slices align, the holes align, and then someone falls right through the Swiss cheese and mm-hmm. into like a vat of boiling water.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Oh, no.
And so this is, I understand now. And who brought up the Swiss cheese effect? Rebecca, was that something you, a term you had?
I learned about the Swiss cheese effect during the Amelia Earhart, my research for Amelia Earhart, because this is from Daniel Cohen, this email. And I'm telling you, this is just an excerpt of the email that he sent me.
Wow.
It is a wealth of knowledge. He really took his time. I got to thank him.
Well, we'll have to have him on as a guest expert when we find the right episode.
But like you said, this is apparently very common in aviation. They use this a lot, which makes a lot of sense because the stakes are so high when you're flying on an airplane. You really don't want anything to go wrong.
Right. No.
No.
No. So those are the emails we have gotten so far. I got to thank everyone who wrote in. Literally, give us your opinion. We want to discuss everyone's opinion. So thank you.
Great.
Right? I mean, like, right?
It's great. It's great. We love you, the Alarmy. Please,
nice, Chris.
If you know what I was thinking about? Well, this is probably too much of a tangent.
Why don't you save it for when we're not at the end of an episode? Okay.
Yeah, we should wrap it up.
Cliffhanger.
We'll discuss this.
What was
on
Chris thinking the at next the end mailbag. Of the aftermath?
Yeah, write in and let us know what you think Chris was thinking. No, but seriously, thank you so much. And tune in next week. We are discussing the election of 1876. I can't wait, people. I can't wait.
Earios. Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.